Now, sexting among teens and tweens has gone on for years, but new data shows it's shot up during the pandemic. Sexting refers to sending nude or suggestive photos, videos, or sexual messages. According to BARC, a service that lets parents and schools monitor kids' devices, the volume of children's text messages that contain sexual content is up 37% from pre-pandemic levels. Most texts are not sexts. Sexting was about 0.5% of all activities 2 years ago. Now it's 0.7%. A 2018 study found that 1 in 7 adolescents have sent sexual texts. 1 in 4 received them. 1 in 8 forwarded them without the consent of the person in the photo. In a 2019 study, girls were 3 times as likely as boys to feel pressured to send a sexual image. So how worried should parents be about their kids sexting, and what can they do about it? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about sexting, or do you not want to see it as a reason to panic? Have you had a conversation about this in your own family, whether you're the parent or, say, the teen yourself? Have you taught kids in schools on how to avoid this kind of thing? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Jeff Temple is a psychologist as well as a professor and director of the Center for Violence Prevention at the University of Texas Medical Branch. Jeff, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I think when people hear that sexting is up or worry that their own kids may have been exposed to it or done it themselves, the first instinct as a parent, Jeff, might be panic. But if I understand you correctly, you want to steer us away from that path of panic. Why?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, with any emerging technology, whether it was the phone or the radio or the television or anything, we have a tendency to get very nervous about what it means for our kids because we care about them and we love them. We saw this with Pokemon Go. There were worries about it creating stranger danger. In reality, that never happened. So when we get to sexting, it is scary. You know, that there's these stories we hear about in the news where someone has spread a nude picture of a girl to all the surrounding community and something bad happened. That's the minority of situations. Mostly sexting, even if we don't like it, occurs between consenting adolescents, 16 to a 17-year-old. Again, I'm not saying that this is a condoning it by any means, but if you're a 17-year-old or you have a 17-year-old and he or she is not interested in sex, I would say in sex at all, I'd be equally as worried.
There are concerns, of course, about people being coerced, mostly girls being coerced into sharing explicit images and then being, in effect, blackmailed into sharing more of them. That seems like one of the worst cases we see. What can we do to prevent that?
Yeah, that's really where the public health crisis is with respect to sexting. I'm not so worried about a 17-year-old sending a naked picture to another 17-year-old or receiving one if it's consensual. But when it's coerced or when it's non-consensual, I think that's when we're going to see some of the harmful effects. Just basically like we see with real-life sexual behavior, in-person sex. You know, the line separating online and offline behaviors for this generation of teens is completely blurred. They don't see a difference. So in the same sense, the effects of consensual sex and consensual sexting are probably the same, which is we don't see a whole lot of negative effects. But when it's non-consensual, whether it's in person or over the phone, that's when we start to see some of the negative effects, the anxiety, depression, PTSD, low self-esteem, that sort of thing. So what can we do about it? I think the very most important thing we do is to talk to your kids about sexting, about digital citizenship, about safe sex, about relationships and healthy relationships. You know, if you're in your car right now and you're with your kid, this might be awkward and you might hate me right now, but pull over and have a discussion with your kid about sex and about healthy relationships and continue that conversation. It's not a one-time thing, and lean into the awkwardness. It's going to be awkward, but that's okay.
Talking to Jeff Temple, psychologist at the University of Texas Medical Branch, looking at sexting, the sharing of sexual images on social media, on texting, for example, especially among youth, and about how parents can talk to their kids about these issues. You could join in at 800-642-1234. 1234. Have you encountered problems with this in your own family, maybe in your school? Do you have questions about how to have these conversations? What kind of issues to hit? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Jeff, are there lessons we can learn from those conversations about sexuality in the offline world that can teach us how to have good conversations about online things like sexting?
Yeah, absolutely. And so things like consent, you know, we can talk about how we approach consent with our boyfriends, with our girlfriends, with touching, with anything. And that's the same thing with sexting. You know, we don't want to send something. And most kids, most teens are, you know, they want to be in healthy relationships and they don't want to mess up. Oftentimes it's just not knowing how. And so if we could teach them how to be in a healthy relationship, what that means, then, you know, whether it's in person or over the phone, absolutely, there are things that we can replicate that we've done with in-person sex, you know, like things like, you know, being comprehensive in our talks about sexuality and not being naive about it, so that kids are going to think about sex, whether it's in person or online. And so let's open it up and let's have a dialogue about it. What does it mean? What do you hope to get out of it? What are the advantages to waiting? You know, because we do know that things like early sexual debut, again, whether it's in person or early sexting debut, is associated with more harmful effects. So, yeah, just having that ongoing conversation with them about sex and digital citizenship and healthy relationships.
One key difference here, it seems like, Jeff, with it now on the consensual side of things, in-person behavior between a couple teens, it could happen, it could end. If you share that image, it can be sent along, or an impulsive teenager can show it to a buddy who passes it along. There's that risk that that momentary decision can have that really lasting and literally global impact on someone. How do we tackle that issue?
Yeah, that's certainly the, I think the scare of it is, you know, when we were kids, we probably, and you know, I'd say that most all of us who are listening, even if we pretend like we want it, if we had smartphones, we probably would have sexted or have requested a naked picture from our girlfriend or boyfriend. And the difference was when we were growing up, all we had were Polaroids, right? So we could spend a few minutes as the picture develops and decide how stupid we are and put it in our pocket. Or even if we do show people, what the, you know, the most people that are going to see it is a half a dozen or so. So that is the big difference, is now it's immediately at your fingertips, so you don't have those few minutes to think about it. And then it can be shared and reshared and live in perpetuity. So that is the bigger thing that to worry about. And I will say that when we use that kind of, like, if it gets out in the world, your life is going to be over and you're not going to get into college and you're going to be kicked off the football team or whatever. I think that's a dangerous thing to do with kids, because we lose our credibility. Those scare tactics just don't work, because they know that a lot of their friends are sexting. They might be sexting and nothing bad is happening. So what I like to do is I approach it like seatbelts. And when I talk to a crowd of kids is, you know, I say, how many of you are going to wear your seatbelt on your way home? And invariably, they all raise their hand. And I say, why? You know, the chance of any of you getting in a car accident on the way home are close to 0%. And the response, of course, is, well, just in case. And so that's how I sort of talk about teens with sexting and with the potential that it could be. It probably won't, but that it could have negative ramifications, long-term ramifications.
I wanted to ask you about preparing kids for what seems like a fairly likely situation, that situation where they're being pressured to share a naked image, a sexualized image, and they don't want to, or they're not sure. What kind of things can we tell kids so that they're ready for that scenario?
Yeah, I love that question. I think our tendency as parents and educators is the sort of the Nancy Reagan thing, just say no. Well, that didn't really work with drugs and alcohol, and it doesn't work with this. There's incredible pressure for teenagers, you know, these 14, 15, 16-year-olds who are looking to fit in and belong and maybe have a crush on someone and want that other person to like them and want to be cool, and their friends are doing it. So there's a lot of pressure. It's much more difficult than the just say no. And in fact, they might want to. So we have to recognize the pressures that they have and get beyond the just say no and give them some real world tactics for dealing with it and saying, you know, maybe like we do with substance use in the real world or with sex in the real world, there's negotiation, there's refusal skills, and give them those skills to say, well, I'm just not into that right now, or I'm too worried about it ending up on the internet, or something to that effect, to give them those skills and teach them those skills.
We're talking about sexting among teens in recent years. Some data shows an increase in sexting, especially during the pandemic. A service that allows parents in schools to monitor kids' devices, it's called Bark, says they're seeing the volume of children's text messages that include sexual content up about 37% from pre-pandemic levels. Jeff Temple is a professor and director of the Center for Violence Prevention at the University of Texas Medical Branch. He's also a licensed psychologist. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are you worried about this? Have you seen it happen in your family? How have you had a conversation with kids, whether you're a parent or maybe a teacher? 800-642-1234 is the number to call or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, I'm concerned about this. I don't have children myself, but I have nieces and nephews, and I see it in society. So my initial thought is that this is really a matter of emotional maturity, because even in older adults over 30, you can see regression. And what they don't have is an established fundamental sense of self, which began when they were, you know, young or a teenager, to give them a strength of spirit or an emotional sense of self, so that they feel empowered to say no when they know it's not a good idea. I wondered what your guests thought about that.
Interesting, Jeff. Thanks a lot for the call. And Jeff Temple, we've seen adults, mostly men in prominent positions in life, send unsolicited sex over the years. How do we develop maturity to handle these issues at any age?
Yeah, well, first of all, your caller had an excellent name. So I would say,
you know, Jeff Day.
Yeah, exactly. If you think of Anthony Weiner, Brett Favre, there's certainly are some prominent examples of older adults who have done this. I really think what Jeff hit on there was what we're trying to do in a lot of our school systems now is teach socio-emotional learning. So to teach kids how to regulate their emotions, how to therefore make better decisions. And really what I focus on is how to have healthy relationships. So, you know, we have all these issues. We have violence, substance use, bullying, sexting now, and who knows, in 10 or 15 years, it might be hologram sexting or something. And I think rather than fighting these issues one at a time in silos, I think the better approach is to target the shared risk and protective factors, like what Jeff, your caller, said, is to focus on that sense of self. And that might mean to teach healthy relationships. So that way, if we can give the kids skills to say no, to solve conflicts in a nonviolent, non-abusive manner, how to break up with someone, how to apologize to someone, just give them those everyday skills of relationship skills, then maybe we can prevent a whole lot of negative behaviors like forwarding sex without consent, non-consensual sexting, violence, substance use, risky sexual behavior, and so forth.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jeff, at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Bill with us in Reedsburg. Bill, hi.
Hi. I'm driving, so if I lose you, I apologize. My concern is, I understand the consensual part, but my concern is that there's a secondary problem in that, and I work with teenagers a lot. And if a teenager is found with underage pictures on his phone or her phone, they can still get in trouble with the law. It doesn't matter how consensual it is, they can still have problems with it. And there are kids that are basically under court orders right now because of having received pictures that are were inappropriate, and they didn't get rid of them. So I'd like I totally agree with the guest that the biggest and the most important thing is having conversations with your children. Unfortunately, a lot of parents don't.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. You raise a great issue that we haven't touched on, Jeff, the legal side of things.
Yeah, it's an absolutely great point. You know, laws have not caught up with technology. There's still laws in some states where it is legal to have sex if you're 17, but illegal to sext someone. So it's behind the times, so to speak. And in a lot of states, it's still considered a felony. And that's a problem. And it does need to be addressed at the policy level. But what he says is important. And that is something that kids should know and we should communicate to them. That being said, we've looked at this, whether or not kids know the harmful effects from a legal standpoint and whether or not that prevents them from sexting. And probably not a surprise to your listeners, it does not. So we need to do a better job of creating policy that matches up with reality and not punishing teens for kind of expected behavior. What, again, I think we'd all probably be doing if we were 16 and had smartphones. And I think that we need to focus our resources and our efforts in stopping in the early sexting, which is associated with negative ramifications, with the non-consensual sexting, with the coerced sexting, pressured sexting, and things like sextortion, where say a girl sends a picture of herself to a guy and then he says, send me more or I'll send this to all of our friends. So that's the type of things that we need to really focus our efforts on and not the consensual sharing of photos between two 17-year-olds, say. And I'll also say, if you don't mind, is one of my other pet peeves of this is when a phone is, say, taken at school and there's a picture of a naked girl on it, it's oftentimes that girl is punished for sending it as opposed to that guy for having it on his phone. And you know, I think there's some old school double standard sexism there.
Thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking about sexting and youth, Jeff Temple is with us from the University of Texas Medical Branch, licensed psychologist. Jeff, a key here, as we keep coming back to, is good conversations between parents and their kids. The reality in some families is there isn't that relationship. The dynamic is broken for one reason or another. If there's a concerned parent who feels like, for whatever reason, they can't handle that conversation or their kid can't handle their conversation with them, what do you suggest they do? How can they make sure the kid gets that information, even if it isn't sitting down with their parent?
Now, I think this is a common problem. And I'll also say that we should take a belt and suspenders approach, and in that I think we need to be teaching healthy relationships and comprehensive sexual education at school and at the home so that they get it both ways. So if the home is dysfunctional for whatever reason, they're still getting it at school. And if their home is functional and they're getting it at home, well, the worst case scenario is they're getting that message again at school. And that's a good thing. I'll say if you're really uncomfortable with it, you know, find a pro-social adult that person that your child can talk with. Maybe it's an older sibling or a school counselor, someone that they can talk with and have those conversations. I will say that don't avoid it just because it's awkward, though. That part is that's part of the whole thing. We want parents to be awkward about it when they talk to their kids about sex, because that way the kids get to see and model what it's like to have an awkward conversation about sex, which they might be having with their boyfriend or girlfriend in a month or a year. So it lean into that awkwardness and you know, use that as a discussion point. I'll also say that there's constantly stories like this in the news about sexting or about sex. Use that as an opportunity to talk about it. So you don't have to, you know, directly say, are you having sex or are you sexting? You know, say, what do you think about that story that was on the news?
30-second drill, Jeff. The parent sees that their kid, finds out their kid's been involved in sexting one way or another. Give us a quick strategy to not panic before talking about it.
All right. Great question. I'll say, first of all, not panicking is, it does not mean your kid is bad. It doesn't mean your kid is deviant or depressed or anything like that. It probably means that they're a teenager who is interested in sex, especially if it's, you know, 15, 16, older than that. There's not a whole lot of panic to have there. That's the, you know, you not, don't necessarily want them to do it, but it's a don't panic.
Excellent.
The second part of it is we've done research that shows that sexting precedes actual sexual behavior. So rather than freaking out about it, use that as an opportunity to talk about safe sex and whatever your idea of safe sex is.
And that's where I'll leave it. Jeff Temple was with a psychologist at the University of Texas Medical Branch looking at sexting.